My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Custer. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live, and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we embark on this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. If you would like a copy of the scriptures included in today's program, you can find the download link by clicking on today's program in the station schedule at Zion.org. That's spelled TSION.org. And now let's begin today's reading.
Come away right now. Away, my beloved. Come away, my.
Today we will continue with Chapter 2 of the book, Come Out of Her, My People, entitled, Which Components of the Worship of the Son and of the Host of Heaven Have Been Adopted? And we will cover a portion of page 49 through page 57, inserting the scriptures referenced there. You may find the scriptures by clicking on the Downloadable Study Aids tab for the current program on the schedule at Zion Road Radio. Or you may find a link to the scriptures in Eliyahu Ben David's weekly newsletter, Kingdom Outposts, Consider This Study for Your People. I'm going to start on page 49, and I'll just tell you that in these pages, there are a lot of large German names, which I will probably murder when I try to say them. So just be patient with me. And here we go. This is on page 49, section 14. All of these various names are in all caps. Her, H-E-R, H-E-R-R, H-E-E-R, H-E-R-E, and H-E-E-R-E. These are all various names. The Jews developed a superstitious belief after the partial return from Babylonian captivity that the name of Yahweh should be avoided, except for certain occasions in the temple at Jerusalem. This was done for fear of profaning the name, and to avoid the name being used by others. This led to the idea that the name is ineffable or unutterable. However, this was a pagan doctrine. We read in Leggy, Forerunners and Rivals of Christianity, page 37, quote, "The ineffability of divining names was an old idea in Egypt, especially in the Osirian religion. The name of Marduk, a sun idol, of Babylon, is in the same way declared ineffable in an inscription of Neri. The name of Yahweh became ineffable directly after Alexander." See Halevi, Review des Undis Juvis, Number 9, 1884, page 172. "In every case, the magical idea that the god might be compelled by utterance of his secret name seems to be at the root of the practice." Unquote. However, we believe that avoiding the name of Yahweh, substituting it with a title, was the work of, quote, "the mighty one of this world," unquote. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let's read that verse. 2 Corinthians 4:4. in whom the mighty one of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that the enlightening of the good news of the esteem of Messiah, who is the likeness of Elohim, does not shine on them. He did this in order to facilitate the introduction of the names of many of national pagan idols of the nations, to which the glad tidings were being brought to. Secondly, by calling all the deities of the nations only by a title, it was very easy to assimilate them all, identifying all of them with the one deity, whichever you wish to identify them with. This is exactly what took place. With the solarization of all the deities, the sun deity was seen as the one behind them all, only having different names. When the messianic belief was proclaimed, this same spirit prevailed. Maximus of Madaura wrote in approximately 390 CE, quote, "There is only one God, sole and supreme, without beginning or parentage, whose energies, diffused throughout the world, we invoke under various names, because we are ignorant of his real name." Unquote. This is in direct contrast to what Yahweh commanded us in Exodus 20, verse 3, Exodus 23:13, and what Paul tried to rectify in Acts 17:23. Let's read those verses. Exodus 20, verse 3. "You have no other mighty ones against my face." Exodus 23:13. "And in all that I have said to you, take heed, and make no mention of the name of other mighty ones. Let it not be heard from your mouth." And Acts 17:23. "For passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown mighty one.' Not knowing then whom you worship, I make him known to you." Another point needs our attention. Scholars attest to their findings that many of the Greek idols and their names originated in Egypt. Other idols or their names are traceable to their Vedic or Sanskrit roots. In our study of the Indo-European languages, we trace many words, names, as well as idols' names, in many of the European languages. One is astonished to notice how some of them are found in the southernmost countries and only again in the Nordic countries. This will help us in our search for the origin of Herr, H-E-R-R, the German word for Lord, both of them being the substitute for the name Yahweh in our versions. This substitution has no scriptural ground. Indeed, it is directly in contrast to our Elohim's commandment in Deuteronomy 4:2 and Deuteronomy 12:3c and 4. But do read the latter in the King James Version or the Revised Standard Version. Let's read those verses. Deuteronomy 4:2. "Do not add to the word which I command you, and do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Yahweh your Elohim, which I am commanding you." Deuteronomy 12:3. "And you shall break down their altars, and smash their pillars, and burn their asherim with fire. And you shall cut down the carved images of their mighty ones, and shall destroy their names out of that place." Deuteronomy 12:4. "Do not do so unto your Elohim." That's the Scriptures 1998 version, and Deuteronomy 12:4, again in the King James Version, "Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God." The writers of Proverbs in Proverbs 34 challenges and asks us whether we know the Father's name and the Son's name. Proverbs 30:4. Who has gone up to the heavens and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who establishes all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his Son's name, if you know it? He then follows on in verses 5 through 6 by reprimanding us not to delete from nor to add to the word, as if to say this is the reason why the name of the Father and the name of the Son have become hidden. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of Eloi is tried. He is a shield to those taking refuge in him. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. German dictionaries tell us that the origin of the word her, H-E-R-R, is uncertain. The moment we read this remark, we are alerted. Has the prince of darkness of this world been hiding his work of darkness again? Can this word or name be traced back to sun worship? Indeed, that is what we find, and we have a few witnesses. The Latin and Greek names for certain Egyptian sun deities are Horus, H-O-R-U-S, or Horos, H-O-R-O-S. However, in the Egyptian language, his name is written capital H, lowercase r, and pronounced Her, H-E-R, or Heru, H-E-R-U, the ancient sky deity or sun deity of Egypt. Budge, From Fetish to God in Ancient Egypt, page 6, clearly states, quote, the sun as a god was called Her, capital H, capital E, capital R, at a very early stage. Other sun deities were to follow, bearing the name Her as the first part of their names. Hercules, the well-known sun deity, Hermes, the Greek name for Mercury, and in whose name a strong religion became established in Alexandria and Egypt just before Christianity came. Some Teutonic deities' names also started with Her, H-E-R, namely Hermod, and possibly Hermon, too. Amongst the Teutons, we find the names of a deity, capital E-R, or capital H, small letter E-R-U, Heru. Thor, the great thunder deity, was also called Hergot. And again, Hergot, capital H-E-R-R-E, capital G-O-T. This same author, Jacob Grimm, perhaps the greatest scholar of Germanic languages, as well as of Germanic mythology, comments on an inscription. Quote, Der Her, D-E-R, H-E-R-R-E, seems to mean the sun, unquote. It becomes obvious to all that this word was later used as a title, and, quote, Her, H-E-R-E, is said of heathen gods, angels, and emperors, unquote. Other evidence as to Her, H-E-R, or Har, H-A-R, originating as a name, is found where the Teutonic deity Odin is called Har, capital H-A-R, as well as Har, or Hergen. Other scholars trace the origin back to the Sanskrit Var, which means heaven, and the Zentic Var, which is the sun. Har also means bright, And Hermonsul is a sun deity. But again, Zeus, the great sky deity who later became identified as a sun deity, was involved. Zeus was known as Heros, H-E-R-R-O-S, in the Aeolian dialect, or as Heros, H-E-R-O-S. The feminine of this word is Here, H-E-R-E, also known as Hera, H-E-R-A. She was the queen of the sky and the sister, as well as wife of Zeus, and known as Juno in Rome. Whether it be the male Her, Her, or Heros, Heros, or Heru, it all originates from sun or sky worship. Similarly, the female Here or Hera also originates from sky worship. Our Heavenly Father's name has been substituted with a so-called title, but this title traces back to the name of the sun deity. Likewise, our Savior has also been called Her or Here. Therefore, he also became identified with the sun deity. At this stage, we should also like to look at the Dutch Here, H-E-E-R-E, and the Africanus Here, H-E-R-E. These are plurals of Her, H-E-E-R, even if only as a plural majesty. But they also trace back to the sun deity, Her or Hero, H-E-R-U. But in its plural form, the Africanus Here, H-E-R-E, is being spelt exactly like Queen of Heaven's name. Although it is commonly taught that Her, Here, and Here are titles, okay, there's a good name. Indo-Manicus Etymologist Wurtembuch of Julius Porconi on page 615 of the first column admits that these three words probably originated as names of gods. What does Scripture say will happen in the end time? For one, I will take from her mouth the names of Baals, and they shall be remembered by their names no more. That's Hosea 2:17. The full verse of Hosea 2:17 says, "And I shall remove the names of the Baals from her mouth. They shall no more be remembered by their name." The word Baal, it seems, gradually became a proper name, spelled capital B-A-A-L. A similar semantic word or name, however, originated from the Aryan root Baal, B-H-A-L, which means to shine. Most commentators and scholars therefore believe it was applied to the sun deity in most cases. Next point. O Yahweh, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, "Surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Will a man make mighty ones for himself which are not mighty ones? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh." That's Jeremiah 16:19-21. Let's read those verses in full. Jeremiah 16:19. O Yahweh, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of distress, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, "Our fathers have inherited only falsehood, futility, and there is no value in them." Jeremiah 16:20. Would a man make mighty ones for himself which are not mighty ones? And 21. Therefore see, I am causing them to know, this time I cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh. The next point, Therefore, my people shall know my name. Isaiah 52:6. The full verse says, Isaiah 52:6, therefore my people shall know my name in that day, for I am the one who is speaking. See, it is I. The next point, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of Yahweh. Zephaniah 3:9, the full version, says, for then I shall turn unto the peoples a clean lip, so that they all call on the name of Yahweh to serve him with one shoulder. The next point, it shall be in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols. Zechariah 13:2 says, and it shall be in that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, that I cut off the names of the idols from the earth, and they shall be remembered no more. I shall also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the earth. The next point, they will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each will say, Yahweh is my Elohim. Zechariah 13:9. And I shall bring the third into fire and refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I shall answer them. I shall say, this is my people, while they say, Yahweh is my Elohim. The next point, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, among the remnant whom Yahweh calls. That is Joel 2:32. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be an escape, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh calls. The next point, I will make my set-apart name known in the midst of my people Israel. Ezekiel 39:7. Ezekiel 39:7. I shall make my set-apart name known in the midst of my people, Israel, and not let my set-apart name be profaned any more. And the Gentiles shall know that I am Yahweh, the set-apart one in Israel. The next point. We had forgotten the name of our Elohim, or stretched out our hand to a foreign mighty one. Would not Elohim search this out? And that is from Psalm 44:20-21. Psalm 44:20. If we have forgotten the name of our Elohim, or stretched out our hands to a foreign mighty one, 21, would Elohim not search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. The next point. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Yahweh, that men may know that you, whose name alone is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. That is from Psalms 83:16-18. Psalm 83:16. Fill their names with shame, and let them seek your name, O Yahweh. 17. Let them be ashamed and alarmed forever, and let them become abashed and perish. And 18, and let them know that you, whose name is Yahweh, you alone are the Most High over all the earth. As our Messiah not clearly stated in John 17:26b, that he will make his Father's name known to us, John 17:26, And I have made your name known to them, and shall make it known, so that the love with which you loved me might be in them, and I in them. Are we allowing him who works in us to do this work of turning back, of restoring, of giving us pure lips, quote, a pure language that they may all call on the name of Yahweh? Zephaniah 3:9 again. For then I shall turn unto the peoples a clean lip, so that they all call on the name of Yahweh to serve him with one shoulder. The next section is headed up as number 15, Gad, G-A-D, God, G-O-D, good, G-U-D. A prophecy for the end time is given in Isaiah 65:11, wherein our Mighty One warns of the apostasy of his people, quote, but you are those who forsake Yahweh, who prepare a table for Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for many. All commentators agree that Gad is a pagan deity, and so is many. Gad is usually interpreted as a well-known Syrian or Canaanite deity of good luck or fortune, and many the deity of destiny. This Gad is written in the Hebrew as capital G, capital D, but the Masoretes afterwards vowel-pointed it, adding an A to give us Gad. However, we find other references in Scripture to a similar deity, if not the same one, also spelled capital G, capital D in the Hebrew text, but this time vowel-pointed to read God or God. God, spelled G-A-W-D, or God, G-O-D. Those are found in Joshua 11:17, 12:7, and 13:5. Joshua 11:17. From Mount Halag that goes up to Seir and as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon, and he captured all those sovereigns and smote them and killed them. Joshua 12:7. And these are the sovereigns of the land which Yehoshua and the children of Israel smote beyond the Jordan on the west, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, as far as Mount Halag that goes up to Seir, which Yehoshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession, according to their divisions. And finally, Joshua 13:5, and the land of the Gebalites and all of Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance to Hamath. This Baal God, B-A-A-L, capital G-A-W-D, or Baal God, B-A-A-L, capital G-O-D, was obviously a place named after their deity. The astrologers identified Gad with Jupiter, the sky deity, or the sun deity. Other sources of research also testified of Gad being the sun deity. Reverend Alexander Hislop wrote, quote, there is reason to believe that Gad refers to the sun god. The name Gad is applicable to Nimrod, whose general character was that of a sun god. Thus then, if Gad was the sun divinity, many was very naturally regarded as the Lord Moon, unquote. Kyle and Dietschlitz's commentaries on the Old Testament comments on Isaiah 65:11. There can be no doubt, therefore, that Gad, the god of good fortune, this is a quote, is Baal, or Baal, B-E-L, as a god of good fortune. This is the deified planet Jupiter. Gad is Jupiter. Mene is Dia Luna. Rose and Mueller very properly traces back the Septuagint rendering to this Egyptian view, according to which Gad is the sun god and Meni the lunar goddess, as the power of fate. Unquote. Isaiah 65:11 tells us that Yahweh's people have forsaken him and in the end time are found to be serving Gad, the sun deity, as a deity of good luck, and Meni, the moon deity of destiny. Isaiah 65:11. But you are those who forsake Yahweh, who forget my set-apart mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who fill a drink offering for Meni. M-E-N-I. As pointed out above, this Gad, which is capital G-D with an A vowel pointing, is probably the same deity as we read of in the book of Joshua, capital G-D with a vowel pointing of A-W or O, making it God or God. The vowel pointing of the Masoretes cannot always be relied on, but we can rely on the Hebrew scriptures before the vowel pointing was done. It could be that the G-D, all caps, of Isaiah 65:11 is the same as the God or God of the book of Joshua. But let us not try to establish a fact on an assumption. Let us rather do some research on the word God. The word God, capital G-O-D, or God, small G-O-D, like the Greek theos, capital T-H-E-O-S, or theos, small T-H-E-O-S, is used in our versions as a title, a generic name, usually. It translates the Elohim, capital E-L-O-H-I-M, or small E-L-O-H-I-M, L, capital E-L, or small E-L, and Eloah. However, in quite a few places, it is used as a name whenever it is used as a substitute for the Tetragrammaton, the name of our Father. For example, in Matthew 4:4, which is quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3, Romans 4:3, which is quoted from Genesis 15:6, etc. Let's look at those verses. Matthew 4:4, and this is in the NIV version. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." That is quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, from the NIV version. Romans 4:3, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, NIV version. Genesis 15:6, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness, from the NIV version as well. If the word God is then used as a substitute for the name, it must be accepted that the word God has become a name again. How and then did this title or name become adopted into our modern languages? Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, says, capital G-O-D, God, the common Teutonic word for a personal object of religious worship, applied to all those superhuman beings of the heathen mythologies. The word God, small G-O-D, on the conversion of the Teutonic races to Christianity, was adopted as the name of the one supreme being. Unquote. Webster's 20th Century Dictionary, unabridged, first edition, says, quote, "The word is common to Teutonic tongues. It was applied to heathen deities And later, when the Teutonic peoples were converted to Christianity, the word was elevated to the Christian sense. Unquote. James Hastings, Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, Volume 6, page 302, reads, quote, "After the conversion of the Teutons to Christianity, the word came to be applied also to the Christian deity. Its etymology and its original meaning are obscure and have been much debated." Unquote. J. G. R. Forlong, Encyclopedia of Religions on God, says, quote, "It is remarkable that philologists are unable to decide the origin of this familiar Teutonic word." Unquote. Once again, we are strongly suspicious of the rulers of darkness, or the prince of darkness, having succeeded, once again, in hiding yet another work of darkness. There is much confusion in the European languages between the words good, G-U-D, for good, G-O-O-D, and God, small G-O-D. The Scandinavian languages, like the Old Anglo-Saxon, called God, G-O-D, good, G-U-D, and called good, G-U-D, God, G-O-D. Calling good, God, and God, good, is bad enough to confuse us. Even worse is that the Old Netherlands languages regarded God as an idol, and good, G-U-D, as the correct deity. Jacob Grimm recorded this for us, as well as Julius Porconi and Jan de Vries. This inconsistency of spelling confuses us, as it must have confused the people in those early centuries who were still completely or partially ignorant of the true Mighty One and His name. Jacob Grimm asserts that this was done because of fear. Quote, "Such a fear may arise from two causes. A holy name must not be abused, or an unholy dreaded name, for example, that of the devil, has to be softened down by modifying its form." Unquote. And then gives examples. Other scholars have explained that the names of national deities were either hid or modified in order to prevent their enemies getting hold of these names, enemies who might use it as magic word against them. Another reason for this changing of spelling of idols' names was the ritual of, abrenuntiatio, a solemn renouncing of the names of major deities. Whenever a pagan person became converted to Christianity, one of the three major idols of the Teutonic tribes was called Saxnot, S-A-X-N-O-T. It is well documented how this name was renounced, and later on came back in a disguised form, Saxneat, S-A-X-N-E-A-T. We even found that some idols' names were spelt 17 different ways. We found further evidence that Got, G-O-T-T, or God, G-O-D, was not only a title, but used as a name, too, among the Teutonic tribes. Simrock discovered songs wherein Got, G-O-T-T, was used as a Bia name for the deity Odin. In German, Bia name means surname or epithet or appellation. We further found Goda, G-O-D-A, as a proper name of an idol. Moreover, the same author relates how Woden, the name of the highest god, also called Wotan and Odin, was also called Godan. The Teutonic masculine deities each had its female consort or counterpart. Thus we read that this deity's female consort was Phra Gode, capital G-O-D-E. It is commonly known that our Wednesday was named after Wodan or Wotan. In Westphalian, we find this day being called Godenstag. After we had compiled all our findings for this subject of the word or name God, we searched even further and found the following information. Although the majority of dictionaries do not acknowledge it, there are some that quite frankly admit it and clearly state that the origin of the word God is uncertain or unknown. Why uncertain or unknown? What was there to hide? Other dictionaries propose that the most likely origin of the word God is the Indo-Germanic or Sanskrit word huta, H-U-T-A. Some dictionaries prefer to spell this ancient word guta, G-H-U-T-A. Huta, or guta, was of course an appellative for another name for Indra, the Indian sun deity, as the more comprehensive dictionaries duly admit. We do accept this, but would be happier to find a word with an O instead of an U. In the Indo-Germanic dictionaries, there is only one word which resembles the word God. In fact, it is pronounced exactly the same. This is the word Goth, G-H-O-D-H. Dictionaries which are not Indo-Germanic usually spell this word with an A. Julius Pocani, Indomaniscus Etymologus, Wurtenbuch, Volume 1, page 423, says the word goat, G-H-O-D-H, means union, also sexual union or mating. He says that from this root, following Germanic European words came forth. Gaden, Gatten, Gaten, Gatter, Gilt, Gut, Godina, etc. Sanders Wolfling, Handwurtenbuch der Juist Sprach, page 234, as well as Grimm, Deutsch Wurtenbuch, under Gatten, says that Gatten means to mate. In Dutch, this word is commonly used for a marriage partner, a consort, a spouse. This word is also found in English, beget, begot, begotten. Professor Dr. Eduard Koop, Lundberger Wurtenbach, Volume 1, page 594, admits that got, capital G-O-T-T, got, G-O-T, god, G-O-D-E, guide, G-A-D-E, god, G-O-D, and goot, G-O-T-H, or G-U-D, are all the same word. Note well, god is the same as god. Schuller and Libin, Mittel Nichterwants Wurtenbuch, says the same on page 135. Got, G-O-T, god, G-O-D-E, gade, G-A-D-E, and God, capital G-O-T-T, are the same. A third witness is that of Wilcido Tuchert, Melixburgets Wurtenbuch, Volume 3, page 231, which confirms this, and says that the word got was anciently known as gade, G-A-D-E. Dr. Arnold Wader, Germaniscus Ertzit, page 300, said that the following words are the same or related. The German capital G, capital U, capital T, the German all capitals G-O-T-T, the Aramaic capital G, capital A, capital D, small a, and the Arabic good, capital G, capital U, capital D, and also the Greek, agath, A-G-A-T-H, all caps, and then small O-S. Oscar Schade, Aldutius Wurkenbach, Volume 1, pages 342 and 359, still tries to distinguish between gut, G-U-T, and good, U-G-U-D, and got, G-O-T, and got, G-O-T-T, and god, G-O-D. But the list of these variants of these two words are virtually interchangeable. The evidence is clear. Although the two concepts, good and God, developed in two different directions, the one European nation called good God and called God good, while another nation called them vice versa. This confusion or interchangeability between the words, as well as the evidence from the above-named sources, brings us to the conclusion that these words have common origin, namely the concept of good, which in turn originated from the concept union or mating, namely the word goat, G-H-O-D-H, as revealed to us in Julius Porconi's dictionary. Remember, the Hebrew word Elohim has been translated as God, but Elohim means mighty ones, while goat, G-H-O-D-H, or got, G-H-A-D-H, means union, even sexual union, to mate. The original meaning and concept of Elohim and God differ totally, especially because of the latter's carnal or sensual meaning. Such then was the spirit of paganism which started creeping in at Alexandria in the 2nd century, and which finally took over at Rome in the 4th century. From there, syncretistic mixed religion spread to Europe, where it took a few more centuries for it to become further mixed with the pagan elements of our Germanic Teutonic ancestors. If the Teutonic pagans called all their idols by the generic name Gott, G-O-T-T, or God, G-O-D, shall we continue to call the one that we love by the same generic name, title, or name? Why do we not translate the title Elohim, or El, or Eloah, with its proper meaning, mighty one? Also, in those places where God has become a substitute name for Yahweh, shall we continue to invite the wrath of Elohim by doing this? He has commanded us that we should not destroy his name, in Deuteronomy 12, 3 and 4. Just as a reminder, we'll read that again. Deuteronomy 12:3, and ye shall break down their altars and smash their pillars and burn their asherim with fire. Ye shall cut down the carved image of their mighty ones and shall destroy their name out of that place. 12:4, do not do so to Yahweh your Elohim. He is sorely displeased with those who have forgotten his name for Baal, remembering that Baal really was the sun deity. Jeremiah 23:27, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone relates to his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Quote, therefore my people shall know my name. Isaiah 52:6, Isaiah 52:6, therefore my people shall know my name in that day, for I am the one who is speaking. See, it is I. Yahweh's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall she your name. Micah 6:9. The voice of Yahweh cries to the city, and let sound wisdom see your name. Hear the rod and him who appointed it. For Elohim will save Zion, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Psalm 69, verse 35 through 36. Psalm 69, 35. For Elohim shall save Zion and build the cities of Yehuda. and they shall dwell there and possess it. 36. And the seed of his servants inherit it, and those who love his name dwell in it. Also read Isaiah 56:6-7. Isaiah 56:6. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yahweh to serve him, and to love the name of Yahweh to be his servants, all who guard the Sabbath and not profane it and hold fast to my covenant. And 56:7. Them I shall bring to my set apart mountain, and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their slaughterings are accepted on my altar. For my house is called a house of prayer for all the peoples. If we love him, we will love his name. If we love his name, we will not destroy it. We saw that in Deuteronomy 12:3 and 4 above. We will not forget it, as we saw in Jeremiah 23:27. We will not substitute it for anything else, let alone substitute it with a title, a generic name, or a name which has been used for a pagan deity. Exodus 23:13. Exodus 23:13. And in all that I have said to you, take heed. Make no mention of the name of other mighty ones. Let it not be heard from your mouth. Also, and even more applicable to this present study, we will stop substituting his name with Baal. As we also saw in Jeremiah 23:27, and see in Hosea 2:16. Hosea 2:16. And it shall be in that day, declares Yahweh, that you call me my husband, and no longer call me my Baal. Baal, that great sun deity, also known as Baal, who was the primary deity of Babylon. Whether Baal applies to the name of the sun deity, or whether Baal is merely used as a title. We are to stop substituting his name with anything that pertains to a sun deity, and even only a title with an idolatrous origin, notwithstanding attempts to justify the changed meaning of the word. There's not a single text in all of Scripture which prohibits us from calling him by his name. They called upon his name right back in Genesis 4:26. Genesis 4:26. And to Seth, to him, also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then it was begun to call on the name of Yahweh. Abraham called upon his name in Genesis 12:8 and 13:4. And as Abraham again in Genesis 21:33. Let's look at those verses. Genesis 12:8. And from there he moved to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and he built there an altar to Yahweh and called on the name of Yahweh. Genesis 13:4. To the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of Yahweh. In Genesis 21:33, and he planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of Yahweh, the everlasting El. Abraham called the place in Moriah Yahweh Yireh. Genesis 22:14. And Abraham called the name of the place Yahweh Yireh, as it is said to this day, on the mountain Yahweh provides. Isaac called upon the name Yahweh. Genesis 26:25. And he built an altar there and called on the name of Yahweh, and he pitched his tent there, and the servants of Zitzak dug a well there. Jacob used the name, Genesis 28:16. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Truly Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it." Leah used it in Genesis 29:33 and 35. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, "Because Yahweh has heard that I am unloved, he gave me this son too." And she called his name Shimon. Genesis 29:35. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, "Now I praise Yahweh." So she called his name Yehuda, and she ceased bearing. Moses proclaimed the name of Yahweh, Deuteronomy 32:3. "For I proclaim the name of Yahweh, ascribe greatness to our Elohim." David declared Yahweh's name, Psalm 22:22. "I made known your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I praise you." And so did our Messiah in Hebrews 2:12, John 17:6 and 26. Hebrews 2:12. "I shall announce your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I shall sing praise to you." John 17:6. "I have revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have guarded your word." And John 17:26. "And I have made your name known to them, and shall make it known, so that the love with which you love me might be in them, and I in them." Finally, Yeshua promised to do it again in John 17:26b. John 17:26b, "So that the love which you loved me might be in them and I in them." This is what you and I are now experiencing. This is all we have time for today. I'm so glad that you joined us. We'll continue here on page 57, chapter 2, in our next session. Take a look at the schedule on Zion Road Radio to see when our session will be available. Be sure to join us, learning more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to download your copy of the scriptures from today's lesson. If you want to share this information with others, please feel free to do so. Your questions or comments are welcome. Email me at Shelia, Shelia, at Zion, Zion.org. Shalom!
Have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Go on and lose it all, unless you give it up. It only proves that you never heard the call to come away. Come away, my beloved.
That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program, go to tsiyon.org. Be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program. Come on.
Want to know what Yahweh is doing in our generation? Our free video course, Zion Fast Track, will help you understand the big picture overview of God's plan for this generation and what He's doing to keep His covenant with faithful Israel right now. To enroll in this free video course, sign up for our membership site, Zion Tabernacle, and click the Zion Fast Track image. Sign up is free. Just go to zion.net/register. That's TSIYON.net/register.